Blog Talk Radio.
Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Good morning, everybody. Today is March 1st, 2016. It is 10 a.m. Eastern Time, and you're listening live with Unveiling the Psychic Truth with myself, Courtney Overfield, your host. If you are in Michigan currently, then I want to wish you a warm day, bundle up, kind of stay home if possible. We just got a bucket of snow last night. We're supposed to get another bucket of snow today. If you're elsewhere in the country, I hope you're enjoying the warmth. I know a lot of places south are actually getting warmer weather. I actually just came back from the south and a beautiful vacation in the mountainous Tennessee. So I hope everybody's have a fabulous Tuesday, and I hope that you're enjoying the 1st of March. So today's topic for my show, this is actually a little bit of a popular one, past lives, karma, Akashic records, so forth and so on. It has become more and more popular within the last 5 to 10 years because more and more psychics or more and more holistic and metaphysical practitioners are starting to work with these concepts, and more information has become available on these concepts. So if you're ever interested in learning more, you can definitely fish through online or even call some of your local psychics, or holistic practitioners and see what they know on the subjects. You may find that when you talk to one metaphysical practitioner compared to another, they have two different viewpoints on the subject material, and that's okay. I kind of find this material is sort of like religion, not in the sense that it is a religion, but if you ask one person their religion and to explain it, and you ask another one their religion and to explain it, you're going to get two different answers. So at the core of all of this, there is some resonating, I would say, highlights that tend to become similar amongst all of those in the community who work with past lives, who work with Akashic records, who work with karma or talk about karma. And these are some of the things that I would like to talk about today. Now, if you're a first-time listener to my show, I want to let you know now, if you're waiting in line or in queue for a reading, I don't do readings on the air. I do not. I do readings on the air once a year, and that is during the month of December. If you want a personal reading with me, you're more than welcome to give me a call at 313-516-8210. I do readings in private by appointment, and I actually do phone readings as well. So I'm really sorry, guys, if you're in queue thinking that I do live free readings, I don't. So if you do have a question about today's show and today's subject material, though, you're more than welcome to give me a call. Like I said, 313-516-8210, or you can actually email me at moonbeamessence@yahoo.com, and I'm really flexible about answering any questions you have about show material. So moving into the first subject that I want to talk about today, which is karma. So I always have a lot of clients that come to me and ask me about karma. You know, how does it work? You know, do we rack it up in this life? You know, how does that flow? Now, I have my own personal philosophy on karma, and I know that other people have different philosophies, but at the nitty-grit of at the end of the day, my philosophy is this on karma. Do we rack up karma in our current lives? I do believe so. For example, I can remember when I was really young, I broke up with a boyfriend and I found all of his music on my iTunes account. And I said, oh, doesn't that suck to be him? He's not going to be able to get his music off my iTunes account anymore. And 2 days later, my iTunes account crashed. And then I couldn't even get my music. To me, that was karma. You know, you put out a negative, you receive a negative. So there are certain situations in our lives where we put out energy and we receive that energy back. I call that instantaneous karma or karma of the current life. So have you ever found that you say something and ultimately regret it. You know, well, you know, look at that person on the side of the road whose car's broken down. I don't feel bad for them. And then you kind of regret it. You know, that guilt kind of shifts in. Oh, crap. You know, wait a minute. What if I was that person broken on the side of the road? Basically, what I say with instantaneous karma or this life karma, watch what you say, watch what you do, and watch what you put out there. We are built of energy. We pull energy, we push energy, we place energy out into the universe. When you say something or do something or you are negative, you are placing a negative energy out to the universe. It will bounce back. So I always caution people, you know, really watch how you word things or you put things out there. I'm one of those people that I manifest a lot without even realizing it. And by doing so, some of that can be really good, but some of it can also be negative depending on what I'm thinking about or how I'm pushing that energy out there. So if you're the type of person who, you know, you do have some of that judgmental side, you might want to take a look at that because it might not be doing you any good. And you keep asking yourself, well, why do I keep getting all these negative things? Well, you're pushing negative energy out there by judging other people or placing that energy out there towards other people. It is coming back to you in a negative form or fashion. You want to clear out that negative energy. Stop sending negative energy or judgmental energy out there to the universe. You know, we're not meant to judge others. The only one who gets to judge us are the people sitting upstairs. You know, you're more than welcome to judge yourself, but judging others, you wouldn't want somebody to do it to you, so keep it in mind. Now, there's another aspect of karma that I always get questioned about. Well, how do you feel about past life karma? You know, does my life suck because I was such a bad person in a past life? You know, is that all it is? You know, I was a horrible person in a past life. I was an axe murderer. And now because I was an axe murderer, I'm suffering in this life. Nah, I wouldn't say necessarily. It kind of can go a couple different ways. The way I feel about karma throughout past lives is this. Every single lifetime, we're here for a purpose. We may not completely understand that purpose, especially at first, but we are here for a unique purpose, and we are here to fulfill that purpose. Another way to put that is you are here for a certain set of life lessons. Now, I always get that question, well, do we decide those life lessons before we come down? I firmly believe we do. I think that we do pick our life lessons. Our soul signs up for those life lessons before we come down. Now, we may not be 100% consciously aware of what they will be in detail before we come down, but I do think that we kind of look at it like, okay, I need to understand the life lesson of severe loss, check. Okay, the life lesson of grief, check. You know, I don't think that we are given the book and we get to look through and go, hey, all right, this is exactly how this is going to play out. No, I don't think that, because then we would learn nothing. We wouldn't really learn anything at all. So every single lifetime, you come down here with a set amount of life lessons that you need to learn. Now, when you're born, obviously, you don't remember those life lessons. And even as you get older, you might not remember those life lessons. And, you know, some of us who are spiritually inclined or psychic, intuitive, yada, 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 some of us may know some of those life lessons. Some of us may not know any at all. And maybe some of us know, you know, more than we should. It doesn't matter. You're still here to fulfill that set purpose of life lessons. Because each lifetime is different, each lifetime is not going to be a walk in the park. You know, I always get this from clients, and it's one of those things that I have to go over time and time again. Well, I don't understand why that person over there has it so easy. They, you know, they make good money. They can buy anything that they want. You know, they're in love. They're married. They have the perfect life. Well, how would you know that's the perfect life, let alone that their life is perfect? You know, I don't encourage people to look at other people's lives at all. You know, you might have that friend that you look at and go, oh my God, their life is just so perfect. I want their life. But honestly, you don't understand nor know what they're going through in that particular lifetime. Maybe in 2 years, their spouse dies, they go bankrupt, and they lose everything. You know, you never know what somebody's specific life lessons are. So I always tell clients, stop focusing on others and start focusing on yourself and your specific life lessons. Because your life lessons are your own. And focusing on somebody else, you're not going to achieve anything. And what happens is your life lessons stop becoming anthills and start becoming mountains. So gear your direction right back to yourself and start focusing on what is in front of you. And that's where I come back to that specific set of life lessons or purposes that you need to fulfill. Maybe this lifetime for you was not meant to be about fame, fortune, and everything being perfect. Maybe it was meant to be that life lesson of grief, severe grief, or that life lesson of trauma. Every lifetime is different. And I firmly believe in reincarnation, that every lifetime you come down here, you learn a set amount of life lessons. This poses another question I get from clients a lot. Well, what about rapists, murderers, people who are really negative? Yes, you will have a lifetime like that. You have, in order for your soul to completely evolve, you can't just be the giver. You also have to be the receiver. So if you're, you know, this life, you went through a lot of, I've had a lot of negative people around me. You know, I've went through so much trauma in my life. I've went through so many things. You are the receiver. You are in a lifetime where you are receiving that blunt end of the stick. But don't think that in one lifetime you won't be the giver. Your soul has to evolve by seeing all sides of the coin. So yes, you will have lifetimes where you come down here and you cause harm rather than good. Now, that is kind of one of those things where a lot of people question that. But I firmly don't believe that you can come down here and be on the receiving end all the time and firmly evolve if you're not also the one causing some of this. You know, it's a balance. The same goes for children who die early in life. You know, why did it have to happen to them? That was their soul's life lessons. You will be one of those souls at one point if you haven't been already. Each life you incur, you are learning something. Whether you die young, you die old, you die under really horrendous circumstances, or you're causing those circumstances, whatever it is, your soul has to go through those life lessons. So there is two different types of karma. I call it lifetime karma, where you are literally here to serve a purpose, whatever that purpose is, and you also have instantaneous karma. Now, as far as past life karma, the way this works out is this. If you go through your current life avoiding every single life lesson and purpose you have in front of you and go, I'm not going to learn that, I'm going to avoid that, I don't want to deal with that, no thank you, blah, 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 and you continue forward in that way, you are not learning anything. And when you get upstairs and you download kind of like a computer and they say, okay, what did you learn? And your eyes get all wide and you go, can I have a moment to think about it? And they say, oh, no, you didn't learn anything. You refused your life lessons, even though they sucked. You know, you refused them. Now we have to incur that set of life lessons that you didn't learn into your next life with those life lessons that you have to learn. You get two for the price of one, so to speak. That's where I feel like past life energy kind of comes in. Now, is it something to feel guilty for? You won't remember. So it doesn't really matter, does it? At the end of the day, it just might seem like some of these things are a little bit rougher. But I guarantee you, if you kind of get that inkling or knowing of, oh, crap, you know, that might have been what I did, you're actually going to process through, and be a little bit more open-minded to what's around you. Now, is everybody's lives negative? No. But everybody deals with negativity on some shape, form, and fashion. There is no perfect life. There is not. So I don't want somebody out there listening to this show going, well, I want to get to the perfect one. It doesn't exist. You learn life lessons in every single one of them. Some are easier than others. Some will be even harder than others. But at the end of the day, no life is perfect whatsoever. I've also been told that the harder the life, the closer to enlightenment you are, to the fact that your soul will not repeat. I can't say I necessarily believe that. I know I've had some doozies in the past because I'm currently aware of 14 of my past lives. And I'm sure I have even more than that. And some of those lives were easier, some of those lives were harder, but I do remember a couple of doozies, and I'm still here. So if it was supposed to be a really, really rough life and then you're done, well, I didn't get that end of the boat. So I don't necessarily believe that. I've had a lot of people tell me that, well, this life has been so horrendous. I'm done. I'm enlightened. I'm not coming back. But I don't necessarily feel that. I do feel like you have to go through a lot of lives to kind of get to enlightenment. It's not like, okay, you go through 20 lives, you're done. You know, the Ascended Masters, Kuan Yin, the I Am group and those people that we recognize as the White Brotherhood and the Ascended Masters, you know, Jesus is considered an Ascended Master. Excuse me. They went through, you know, that was their last lifetime in a way. But look at all the last lifetimes they had. They were extreme. They were about teaching. They were about fulfilling a purpose, you know, no matter what they faced. So I tend to believe that your last lifetime is more about the teaching aspect than the suffer of the Almighty and then go and take a long vacation. So that's my opinion on it. As far as life lessons go, I always get this question. Why am I repeating a life lesson? Did you learn it the first time? The universe is very tricky. They like to test us. It's kind of like this, and I tell this a lot to my women and my men who are in love relationships and so forth. Well, I just keep getting the same man over and over again, or I keep dating the same woman over and over again. I keep repeating the same relationship over and over again. Well, what's shifted between the characteristics of your past ex to your current, you know, fling or relationship? If you keep seeking out the same person with the same set of traits over and over again, then you're going to get the same result. You might as well push the video in the VCR, rewind, push play, and hit the same end. You know, sometimes we have to shift and we have to create change. You know, and step forward towards that change. Change is there for a reason. You know, so if you find that you're repeating a life lesson, it's because you didn't learn from it the first time. Well, I was not compatible with somebody who was, you know, had those specific traits or who did those specific things. Maybe I should, you know, kind of steer away from a person who presents those to me again. The universe is saying, did you learn? Or are you just going to keep repeating? So I find that the universe likes to test. Well, why does my ex come back? Did you learn from that situation? Did you learn from that relationship? Because not all relationships are lifetimes. Sometimes they're just reasons. So I always tend to kind of keep that in mind. For example, I had a client who dealt with somebody. She's been in a lot of past relationships where she's been with somebody abusive, and whether it was emotional or physical, she keeps repeating this cycle. And finally, she stepped forward and said, I don't want that anymore. I see the cycle that I keep repeating. I see why the universe keeps sending these people back to me, because I'm just not learning that's, you know, I keep saying it's not, I don't want it, but I keep going back to it. So you have to kind of create that change. A life lesson will continue to repeat until you learn it. And that's where I go back to the anthill and to the mountain. The first time a life lesson hits, it's an anthill. They will make it as easy as possible for you to learn it, because you're meant to learn it. Why make this difficult if you're supposed to do it? If you deny, neglect, or you don't do it, then it, you know, kind of grows until it's a hill, and then it'll keep growing until it's a mountain. Each time it'll get rougher and rougher or become more extreme and extreme, because now the universe is at a point where it's like, we're backed up. You still have more life lessons to go. Hello. Please learn this one. We need to move on. So they're literally making it as big as possible, because it's like, do you pay attention to a sign that's on a piece of paper, or do you pay attention to one of the huge billboards on the side of the road? You know, which one are you most likely to look at if you have both in front of you? Make the life lesson bigger, more likely to pay attention to it and try to shift through it. So these are just some of my my things on karma, and this is kind of where I feel like karma fits in. Now, is there any way to skip past karma? No. If you figure that out, you please let me know how to get out of your own karma. It doesn't work that way. I'm of a firm philosophy that anything that you put out into the universe comes back times three. If you're taking the time to manifest, it will come back times three. You are your biggest obstacle. So if you are sitting there going, I keep manifesting money, but it's not coming to me, you are your biggest obstacle. Why don't you feel like you deserve that money? Why don't you feel like you should have it or that new job? You are the one preventing things from happening. You are the biggest obstacle between you and your manifestation. So keep that in mind. It's a karma in itself. We humans are meant to be humble in some ways. We're meant to be learners and so forth. And it's not that we can't have the things that we want. It's that it's not going to come super easy because we're meant to learn something about the process. And one of the biggest things that we need to learn is we are the ones preventing ourselves from being truly happy. So you have to go through your life lessons, but you can do so and have a happy life too. It's just a matter of when it comes, you progress through it. You keep that open mind. You ride the roller coaster. You ride the wave rather than standing at the gate going, excuse me, no. So that's my philosophy on karma. And I'm sure that there is a lot of people out there that have different points of view that look at this different. There might be some of you guys out there listening right now going, I don't know if I believe that. And that's perfectly okay. The reason why I brought this topic up is because it's been a popular topic lately amongst my clientele, amongst the people that I work with in the community and so forth and so on. I can tell you right now, I know of one other person in the community who doesn't believe it, her philosophy is completely different than mine. But based on the past lives I've experienced, the Akashic records I've read, the record keeping I've done, and some of the severe extremes and situations that I've been through in my life, this is what knowledge I've obtained. And this is the point that I've come to. It might be a little bit different than somebody else's, but it doesn't mean that I can't throw the information out there. My philosophy about life is this. We are all leading different paths, but we're going to meet the same end. So experiencing the different paths is kind of part of the journey, and this is just one of those paths. So past lives. I get this question a lot, too. I want to access my past lives. How do I do that? Well, the first thing anybody is going to tell you is meditation. And for those of you who are listening right now going, well, I suck at that, I would say go back to one of my previous episodes. You could go to bodymindspiritradio.com, go under shows, click on Unveiling the Psychic Truth, hit on all episodes. I have a previous episode on meditation and my philosophy and so forth of meditation. Meditation is one of those things where some people really grab onto it and they do it all the time, and then other people have a little bit of a difficulty with it, and that show is geared around helping people both ways. But meditation is a good way to start connecting to your past lives. You have to remember that all your conscious information, everything that the brain collects while you're awake is everything around you. Your brain keeps track of your heartbeat, your blood flow. Your brain does a lot. Your brain is like, it's literally like the library. It keeps track of everything from your body mass to your blood flow to your heart rate to your pain. It generates pain signals if there's something wrong within the body. It also keeps track of everything that you see, hear, smell, so forth and so on. And it does so while you're conscious. It's picking up on all this when you're conscious. In order to access some of the information you're looking for, that may not have been picked up while you were conscious, you have to access what I call the subconscious, which is best done when you are not firmly in a conscious state. When we are meditating, we are kind of releasing from our body. We are no longer paying attention to the body, the physical shell we are in. We are not conscious of what is going on around us. We are subconsciously aware. We are tapping into a higher form of energy. And that is where you're going to access your past life information and ultimately the Akashic records. Now, I have had a lot of people say, well, what about dream states? Yes, you can access your past lives in dream states. If you are very open when you go to sleep at night, you can access past lives. There's also past life sessions you can do where you can have somebody who has done this professionally, like myself, put you under, so to speak, into where you are comfortable enough that you're releasing from your physical body, and they can help you access your past lives. But I'm going to tell you a couple tricks to that. First of all, if you are interested in receiving a past life session from someone, make sure you question them. You know, have they done it before? What is the process? What is it like? You want to make sure that you're comfortable. You also want to make sure that person is really geared on making you comfortable during the session, really trying to help you. If they charge you an astronomical price, if they quote you $3,000 for a past life session, don't go there. It should not be an astronomical amount of money. Really question, you know, who you're working with before you move forward with somebody for a past life session. Make sure you're getting the best quality, for your dollar, so to speak, but you're also getting somebody who knows what they're doing as opposed to somebody who just wants your money. But as far as past life sessions go, there's a lot of different ways to do it. Now, one of the things that I do want to mention, I have a past life kit that I created that is built around what I would call a spell or a manifestation to help access past lives. The kit I sell in with all the rest of my handmade product, but it has a manifestation or spell that I have personally used and helped create for myself to access my past lives, and it does work. So there are herbs and crystals. The point of this is there is herbs and crystals, prayers and manifestations you can put out there to access your lives. I tend to use that specific spell or manifestation while I'm asleep. I say it before I go to sleep, and I kind of keep my subconscious open. I go to bed going, you know, I'm open, I'm ready, and I'm willing to receive. So, you know, there's definitely aids out there. Some herbs that work very well with that, mugwort. Mugwort is not exactly the nicest smelling herb out there, but it is very strong when it comes to metaphysical properties and opening up spirituality. Anise is really good. It smells like licorice. So if you're really, you don't like licorice, don't go there. some people will use rosemary and lavender, or they'll mix these herbs. So there are herbs that can help you put you in a dream state, or help you calm down during meditation, or help you access your past lives. You can do a mixture, a combination. I get the question a lot, do I have to inhale, eat, drink them? No, you don't. A lot of my herbal sachets, you would smell just the fragrance of it. You don't have to, like, you know, inhale the bag. And at the end of the day, you can just place them underneath your pillow when you go to sleep, or hold them in your hand when you're meditating. There are crystals out there that can help with past lives as well. So don't be impartial to what you try. I always tell clients, go with your gut, go with what feels right to you. You know, I'm a crystal-holic. Actually, before I even got on this radio show, I just got a new stock and shipment of crystals in. I actually brought them back from one of my contacts down in the Tennessee area. So before I even got on here this morning, I was working on crystals and looking up some of the different meanings. I have studied crystals for years and years, and I guarantee if you plop something down in front of me, either A, I know what it is, or I can find out very quickly, and B, I could probably tell you what it does right off the top of my head. Crystals are just one of those things that I really love. So some different crystals to work with if you're into the crystals and the stones. Optical calcite's a really, really good one. Now, you may not find it for very cheap, but it is a really good stone. It's also great for Akashic record keeping. Iceland spar is another one that's really good. Your selenites, especially an aura selenite, which tends to be more of your orange selenite. Selenite's really great for that. A lot of your quartzes are good for that. Your spirit quartz, I have vortex quartz or twisted quartz that's really good for that. A lot of your quartzes are really good in that area as well. And you can also do some research online. What crystals are good for past lives? What crystals are good for Akashic records? Google is great at giving you that advice. but if you're looking for something that can be recommended to you based on what you're trying to access and so forth, feel free to contact me personally. Like I said earlier in the show, 313-516-8210, or you can email me at moonbeamessence@yahoo.com. I'm also on Facebook under Divine Temperance with Courtney Overfield, which I do want to mention this before we get back on subject. If you go to my Facebook page, Divine Temperance with Courtney Overfield, I currently have a contest going on for a free half-hour reading with me, no matter where you are, because I do phone readings. So you have to go on there and like the post, make sure you like my page, and tag three of your friends onto the post so that they see it and they can share it and join the contest too. And you will be entered for a free half-hour reading with me, and I draw the name on March 21st. So if you would like your chance for a free half-hour reading with me, definitely go to my Facebook. I'm also on Twitter and Tumblr and all of those too under Divine Temperance or Divine Temperance with Courtney Overfield. So there's a million ways you can contact me. If you have any questions about today's show or subject material and you're more curious, then definitely contact me. I'd be more than willing to answer any questions you have. But like I said, I don't give out free readings on the air. So moving into Akashic Records. So a lot of people will say, what is an Akashic Record? I've had a lot of people talk about Akashic Records to me or mention them. I don't understand what it is. When we come down and we deal with a certain set of life lessons within our lifetime, the place that that would be recorded, like, for instance, my name on the front of the book would be Courtney Overfield or soul number 3652-97. Just a little bit of humor for you. But anyways, I would have a specific Akashic record or a specific Akashic book. And inside, it would probably list all of my past lives, what lessons I was meant to learn in those past lives, what I'm meant to learn in my future lives, and what have I achieved so far. The Akashic record, these are records of past lives. These are records of life lessons you've learned. These are records of karmatic activity. These are records of everything. It's literally the book of your soul. Some people want to access this, whether they want to learn something from their past or something about their future. Some people are very curious about accessing their records. They want to see, they want to know. Some people feel that they are so spiritually inclined, intuitive, that they already know the records, and that's okay. But some people feel this is the best way to access past lives as well. Why use physical means here when I can just meditate my way right into the records and find out what they have to say? It's not a bad route to go, but I always tell people to be cautious with accessing Akashic records. Some things you're just not meant to know. There's a purpose to it. You know, if you go meditate your way into the hall, and you go into the hall and you find your book and you're looking in it and the pages are blank, that's the universe's way of saying, not yet, you're not ready, or you're not meant to know. Some things just aren't meant, or maybe the timing is off, or maybe there's a specific life lesson that you need to get through before you can access that information. I wouldn't say don't try again. I would just say, kind of be open to that the universe has a greater plan than even we know. The source has a greater plan than even we know and understand. And at the end of the day, the source gets to make the decisions, whether it's God, Buddha, whoever you believe in. They are the end factor. They're the ones putting the foot down going, I understand you want this, but I'm not giving it to you. But the Akashic Records are literally the book or the record of your soul. It contains everything that you're meant to do, everything you will do, everything you have done. When I mentioned the optical calcite or Iceland spar stone, and I said they are really good for Akashic Records, it's because they are very good stones to work with when you want to see your Akashic Records. Once again, if you cannot do this for yourself, then seek somebody out who does know how to do this. But just make sure you're working with somebody who is legitimate. And at the end of the day, like I said, don't be shocked if you open up the book and not every page is written, not every page has something on it. One of the things that I like to do when I have a client come in for a past life session is I like them to access those lives through their Akashic Records. And I actually will have them visualize the book, see their Akashic record, and open it up to a page where they actually get to witness the life. So that is the way I take on that process and so forth and so on. But I will say with past lives, one of the most common questions I get with the past lives and Akashic records, well, I had this dream that I was in this very large hall and there was books everywhere. Was that the Akashic record hall? It may very well be. A lot of times those dreams are very vivid, very real. They feel you feel like you are definitely there. That you know, you could paint the picture if you were an artist as clearly as you can, see in front of you. Those types of dreams have a purpose, and some of them are past lives. You know, I can remember one of my most recent past lives that I saw. It was probably about, I want to say the 40s or more like the 50s or 60s. But I owned an older car, an older Chevy, and I was driving around. I worked on a horse ranch. I actually fell off a horse and broke my neck. You know, I was born in this life later than that. So, but it was so vivid. It felt so real. I even remember drinking the old-fashioned Pepsi, you know, or a cola, excuse me. But at the end of the day, some past lives might come upon you or you might experience them without even asking or recognizing or realizing what they are. Think of the last time you've had a very, very vivid dream, you know, where you felt like you were there and so forth and so on. Ask yourself, did that feel like a past life? Were you witnessing this person? Were you this person? You kind of have to ask yourself those questions. I can tell you in most of my past life recalls, I witness myself. I feel this tie to myself, the person who is, you know, doing the part, acting out the scene, so to speak. But most times I witness what's going on. There have been few, however, where I'm actually that person interacting and so forth. So it can go both ways. Don't negate it as a past life. I also get this common question of, I think a past life dream, but it wouldn't fit in the timeline of what has happened in this world. It felt like it was out of this world. Well, I am a firm believer that we are not the only intelligent species out there, I guess is the way to put it. Our universe is literally 13 billion years old. And our lifetime in the span of the universe's life is literally the blink of an eye. And you can look this up. Scientists will tell you the same thing. I can't remember if we're pushing older than that. My husband would be more specific with this because he's the microbiology science major and so forth. But I believe the last time I looked it, and I was in college, it was 13 billion years old. So our lifetime is literally the blink of an eye. You're going to tell me in 13 billion years that there hasn't been another intelligent species on another planet out there? We haven't really even explored that much outside of our solar system. You know, we're not capable of going to galaxies far, far away yet, like Star Wars and Star Trek. I firmly believe that there's other astral planes would be the way to put it. You know, other planes of existence and so forth and so on, because ultimately, even though here on Earth we feel grounded and we have this level of existence, there's just too many things that kind of coincide, dreams that feel like they're real but don't quite connect to what we're dealing with in this life, instances of out-of-body experiences and going other places, things along those lines. And now I'm getting in more into physics and so forth because a lot of physicists are really studying this, and some actually are firmly starting to believe in astral plane, astral travel. So there is some science behind this. We're not quite all the way there, but there is some science behind this. So as far as having a past life dream that doesn't quite fit into this earth, into the time frame of this history, you might be experiencing a past life that you experienced on another plane, another level, another planet, something along those lines. There have been more and more people who've stepped forward and said, look, I really feel like maybe I was, an alien in a past life, or what we would consider an alien. You know, there's nothing saying that cannot happen. And therefore, until somebody steps forward and says that cannot happen, and this is why, and here's the proof, and I'm going to place it down in front of you, I always keep an open mind. And based on my experiences, not every single one of my past lives have been here either. So you can even take a look at some of the spiritual content that's out there right now, such as the Aetherius Society. They believe that we came from another planet, that we originated on, or we did not originate from Earth. We came to this planet because we destroyed the last one we were on, that the souls that are here, we actually came from another planet. So, and I'm not saying that that's true. I'm just saying that is there anything out there that says that that's false? You know, do you have proof and evidence that that's false? So it's always a wonderful idea to keep an open mind. You never know. And when you keep an open mind, you tend to experience things in the fullest as well. So I'm one of those people that I say I'm more spiritual than anything else, because at the end of the day, I like to keep an open mind to every experience that I have, whether it comes through a past life or current life. It's a current life karmatic experience, whatever it is. I tend to try to keep an open mind to everything. I am one of those people, and this is kind of my philosophy. I once had a conversation with my family, because we kind of get into the subject of what Courtney does during big family events. You know, most of my family is supportive of what I do. I have family who doesn't understand it. I have family that's still learning what I do and have never really experienced it. But I always come up as a topic of conversation sometimes during family gatherings. And I remember one time my mother and I were having a discussion in front of my husband and my stepfather whether or not we believe, you know, you live your life in regret. Do you have regrets? Would you change anything in your life? And I said, there is absolutely nothing in my life I would change. And my mother said, well, you can't believe that. You can't believe that there's nothing in your life. If you couldn't change anything, you wouldn't change anything. And I thought about it for a second, and I said, nope, there's nothing I would change. Every experience that I went through, whether it was humiliating, upsetting, I got ticked, you know, upset, whatever, it was an experience I was meant to have. That is me accepting my life lessons, that I needed to be humiliated to stay humble, that I needed to be angry in order to understand anger and why it really doesn't help or it really doesn't get you anywhere. You know, I needed to understand, you know, loss and mourning. I needed to understand every single one of those experiences to get to be the person I am today. I feel like without those experiences, without any of those things that I have learned, I wouldn't be me. I wouldn't be who I am. And I can say I'm proud of who I am. You know, I'm proud of the things that I do. Now, does that mean that everything I do is right? No, I'm not perfect. But at the end of the day, I can look forward and say, you know what, I'm moving forward. I'm learning my life lessons. I'm doing what I need to do. And I'm proud of how far I have come and who I am today. Now, am I going to evolve and change in the future? More than likely. I really would like to think that by the time I'm 60 or 70 sitting in that rocking chair that I have more wisdom and experience because I'm always open up to the learning processes of life. But at the end of the day, take a look at yourself in the mirror and ask yourself, you know, everything that you've been through, don't you have the right to be proud? Don't you have the right to say, you know, I've come very far, that I feel like I am a good person? You know, and if you can't say those things, then it's time to work on yourself. It's time to understand why you feel that way and who you want to be and how do you get there. You know, but be proud of who you are and how far you've come and the things that you experience. I can tell you that if my life hadn't gone the course that it did, I would have never have met my husband. And I will tell you, I met my husband through a death. I'm serious. One of my mom's very, very close friends committed suicide the day of my graduation party. And he did so because he knew that all of my mom's friends and family, all of his friends would be at my graduation party. It was the perfect opportunity. Nobody was quite paying attention because everybody was having a good time and so forth and so on. And my mom, you know, she was trying to take care of the party and so forth. We had over 100, 150 people there, you know, to where her mind wasn't completely focused on him. You know, where is he? Why isn't he here? So forth and so on. And he commits suicide. Through his death, my mom became very close friends with his girlfriend, who before that she didn't even like, couldn't stand. But death brought them two very close, and it was her that introduced me to my husband. If he wouldn't have died, I'm a firm believer that my mom and her would have never gotten close. More than likely, he would have eventually dumped her. Maybe she would have eventually moved on and found somebody else. Or there's so many things that could have happened. But the situation had to line up the way it did, and I met my husband through it. I thank him every day for that because I feel him in spirit, and I've even seen him. And the funny thing is him and my mom always promised that it didn't matter who went first or how they went or so forth, that they would always protect each other's kids. He always protects me and my brother, and my mom always takes care of his, you know, protects his son. Even in death, he keeps that promise, and I have to believe that my husband was put in front of me for a reason. So if the situation, if the mourning, the loss, all of those things, all of those emotions, all of those situations had not played out the way they did, I wouldn't have my husband, and I really believe that. I wouldn't be with him. I would probably be single right now, and that's okay, too. I don't mind being single, but in the same sense, you know, it worked out the way it needed to, so I have no regrets. You know, and for those of you out there, I would like to leave this piece of advice. Spring always brings out two things, the winter blues and that lust for love. It always brings out those two aspects. It's spring is coming. We want love, you know, we want that commitment, we want that companionship, the people to be with and have a good time and so forth, but it also kind of brings out the winter blues because, like yesterday, I came home from Tennessee, it was almost 70 degrees down there. Here in Michigan, getting back here, it literally is 30, and we have snow on the ground. You know, it kind of, that push and pull of spring and winter weather kind of brings out the blues in us. We're all like, oh, it's spring, you know, the weather's warm, let's get outside, let's enjoy. And then the next day it's like, okay, thanks a lot, I have to stay inside, it's too cold, there's snow on the ground, I can't drive anywhere. So that depression kind of surfaces. And this is a really, you know, sadly a really good time of year for it. It pops toward the winter blues and that lust for love. What I always like to tell clients is, you know what, first of all, as far as winter blues, you can let go of that. There's no need for it. Enjoy the season you're in. Enjoy the calm before the storm. Everything in life is a calm before a storm. You know, maybe you have a calm period before things pick up and get crazy or hectic, or maybe you have a calm period before your next life lesson kicks in. Whatever it is, always enjoy the calm before the storm. I enjoy the storm while I'm in it, but I enjoy the calm before it and the calm after it. Enjoy every aspect of your life. The other thing I always tell people is, especially when it comes to love, because love is one of my most popular things right now, love and, well, money too, but that's tax season for you. Maybe you're ready for the right one. Maybe you're at home and you're like, I'm ready. I want the right one. I'm ready for that relationship. But that doesn't mean the right one is ready for you. So one of my philosophies about love is this: just because you're in the right moment in the right time doesn't mean that the person you're meant to be with is. And sometimes that right time has to just kind of line up the right way. It has to add up. You know, you're both going down your path, but that cross section hasn't come yet. So keep that in mind. It's not one of those things that is negated and you'll never receive. You just have to kind of enjoy your life until that right timing comes. So keep that in mind as well. So I know I've thrown out a lot of information on today's show, and some of you guys, it might be a lot, so you're more than welcome to go back and listen to this show again and archive. Like I said, if you have questions for me about today's material or subject, give me a call at 313-516-8210. Contact me through moonbeamessence@yahoo.com. You can email me or go on Facebook and like my page, Divine Temperance with Courtney Overfield, and get yourself entered. You know, check out the posts, get yourself entered into a free contest for a free half-hour reading. Who doesn't want a half-hour reading for free? And I'll be honest with you, that's a $50 value. My half-hour price is $50. So, you know, wonderful opportunity. And all you have to do is go to my Facebook, like the post, comment three of your friends on there, tag them, and make sure you like my page and stay tuned. So like I said, the name will, I will pull the name March 21st. So in the last 10 minutes of the show, I want to talk about a project that I have in mind for the rest of the year. Excuse me. I love doing Unveiling the Psychic Truth. It is one of my amazing blessings to be able to come to you guys on the radio every month and talk about psychic subjects and the truth about being psychic. It's not always a walk in the park being intuitive or spiritual, but I will tell you it is a blessing in disguise. It is a blessing to be able to wake up every day and help individuals and help people. I firmly believe that. But one of the things from my past keeps popping up, and it's charity work. Now, I do a level of charity work every single year. I'm always open up to charity functions, open-minded to doing charity work. I try to donate, especially around the holidays, so forth and so on. So one of those things that I don't advertise, but I do. One of the things that I started doing and that has been brought up is when I first got into this business, I did a lot of charity functions called non-guarantees, which means that we psychics aren't guaranteed to make money, but it's for charity. So what people would do is they would book me for their event to draw extra people to their charity event and so forth. And sometimes, I would only make money based off donation. If I made legitimate money, like say I actually went to an event and I charged, then I would donate a portion of my money to the charity. So there was a lot of different events like this that I did for, us psychics as a way for us to grow our clientele, reach a wider audience, connect with new people, which is always part of what we do. And to be honest with you, it's just one of those things I really enjoy. I love meeting new people. One of the things that I am focused on getting back into this year is doing some of those particular events. Now, I will be at HFCC, Henry Ford Community College, for the March 19th Holistic Fair, which I do every year. So that's not a charity function. That's actually just me being there. And then in April, I believe it's the second weekend of April, I will also be down in Ohio at the Victory of Light Fair. And if you're down in that area, the Cincinnati area, or even in Ohio, period, you should check that out. There's over 250 vendors. There's psychics. I'll have all my product down there. I will be doing readings and so forth at HFCC too. So if you're in the area, check out those events. But if you know of a charity or you are part of a charity that you would like to place an event or you would like to work with me in order to gain more support, donations, so forth and so on for your charity, or maybe you have an upcoming event, please contact me. My goal for April's radio show is to bring on a local charity who is run by a woman who I've actually worked with in the past. I've done some of her events. I've also done psychic parties with her. I've done a lot with her. And she has a local charity here in Michigan, and they do a lot of fabulous work. So my goal is this, to either start helping more charities do events to bring bigger audiences and to make more money, to support the community and to help others, or ultimately to be able to start supporting charities by bringing them on this show and working with them in other ways. So one of my ideas was that local charity, I can donate a portion of my readings, money for the month, what I make on my readings to the charity. The way that would work is not only would I bring you on the radio to promote you, but you would promote me, your people, to come see me so that I can donate that money and so forth. And I would also promote you through my own. So it kind of goes back and forth. But my goal for the rest of the year is to work with more charities and more charity events. So, and I'm even willing to work with people in the community who say, hey, you know what, I'd like to book you for a party, but, let's talk about how some of that money can actually go towards charity. So this is one of my goals for this year, and it's one of the things that I really want to get back into doing. there's so much tragedy going on in the world right now. Even here in Michigan, we just had a shooting in Kalamazoo. There was... here in the Westland area, Wayne area, there was just a gunman who was holed up in his house. You know, I've read about a lot of tragedy, not just here in Michigan, but other states and countries and so forth. And some of the way to negate that is literally by giving back and helping some of these people. I'm not saying what they're doing is right. I'm just saying that if some of this preventable, you know, that person who's down to their last $5 and they don't have any income or money and they rob that liquor store, could that have been prevented by somebody stepping forward and saying, hey, you know what, let's get you a bath and a warm place to stay and a meal in your stomach. You know, giving back and working with charity is one of my passions. I love doing it. I love helping people. So it's one of my goals for this year. So definitely stay tuned to my show because it's one of those things that I'm going to try to start to incorporate every month. And hopefully I'll be able to do it. So if you know of a local charity or a group that maybe you support, then definitely contact me and hopefully we can collaborate. I can get a hold of them, so forth and so on. And this goes for people who are outside of Michigan too, because I know I have a wide listener audience. I'm not looking just to do local charities here in Michigan. I'm looking to do charities out of state and so forth as well. So definitely get a hold of me. I know that there's a lot of awesome organizations down there or out of state that need help too. So I'm looking to help. So definitely get a hold of me. Once again, my contact information, moonbeamessence@yahoo.com. Get a hold of me on Facebook, Tumblr, Twitter, and also give me a call at 313-516-8210. So, and definitely check me out at the March Henry Ford Community College Holistic Fair, March 19th. I'll be there all day with my booth. I'll be doing readings, and then I'll have all of my product, and I hand make a lot of my product, including my candle kits, which if you go on my Facebook, you'll be able to check out and see. And then I'll be at Victory of Light in Ohio, second weekend of April, and I will be down there showcasing all my product as well. So if you're in the Ohio, Cincinnati area, check that out. Even if you're from Michigan, yeah, I know Cincinnati is about a 4-hour drive, depending on where you live, but it's worth it. It is so worth it to go out down there. Over 250 vendors. There's numerous psychics, including myself. If you are into spirit, then this is the event for you. There's so much to do and look at. And even the HSCC event, you know, that is to support Metaphysically Speaking, which is a radio show through Henry Ford Community College. A lot of great lectures and music. They're also supporting the Go Green this year and helping people eat healthier and live healthier lifestyles. So definitely check that event out. Family-oriented, both of them are. Yes, it is a $5 admission, totally worth it. I'll be there all day doing readings for an awesome, epic price and time, and also check out my product. So I want to wish everybody a wonderful rest of the month. Astara, or spring is coming up, so definitely get out there, enjoy, let loose, do something wild and crazy because you only live once. And remember, you are your biggest obstacle. So once you clear out, you know, your mind, your body, and your spirit, you get that balance back and you push forward, there is nothing you can't accomplish in this lifetime. So I am sending you love, gratitude, abundance, and everything else, utter bliss in the universe. And until next time, goodbye.